Coming up on today's show.
Just because I have kids doesn't mean that I'm going to be drawn back because I have kids. That's like a weird society judgment. Let's embrace the woman and the woman's journey. It's beautiful to be a woman artist if you can, like finding that balance and that rhythm.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Laguna Beach, California, my guest is a singer, songwriter, guitar, and piano player who just last month released a brand new album. Her prior album had been done with a 3-time Grammy-nominated producer and was released on the same record label that has artists such as Moby, Duran Duran, and Yoko Ono on its roster. She has been featured by USA Today, Rolling Stone, Billboard, American Songwriter, Harper's Bazaar, Glamour, and more. Last November, she attended the Billboard Awards, which I am going to ask her about today. In addition to her music, she has launched Lovender, a lavender-based fragrance line that is a nod to the healing journey behind her album. She has more than 425,000 streams on her top 5 songs on Spotify alone. You've been hearing a song of hers called Rocketdyne. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Tara Beyer.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Tara. Thank you so much for making time to talk with me today.
Of course. I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
You bet. You bet. Let's get started by having you share with the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Rocketdyne.
Yeah, this song was the first song that I wrote on the album. It was kind of the starting off of escaping to the desert. I left the city during that time just to escape for environmental issues. I needed to get some fresh air and lots of space, and the desert was that space for me at that time, and that solace, and provided me a sacred space to begin creation.
Did you write that song by yourself, I'm guessing? It was not a co-write?
Yes, all my songs are all written by myself.
Okay. Well, that song, Rocketdyne, is off your brand new album that just came out last month called Mourning Doves of Joshua Tree. And by the way, folks, that's Mourning. So, Tara, tell us about the album itself, including the significance of the title, meaning both the mourning part and the Joshua Tree part.
Yes, I'd love to. Thank you for asking. Mourning Doves of Joshua Tree album was inspired by several reasons, and one of them was the name. When my grandmother passed, it just so happened that when I went to escape to the desert, my grandmother, Mary Lou, from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, passed on, and she lived a great life, and she was just a pillar of our family. And so when she passed, and she was also a woman of good faith, I like really needed to know she was okay. And when I started writing the album, and during the process, there were mourning doves that started showing up. When I was washing the dishes, I looked up, and there was mourning doves having babies. And babies, they only have two. Mourning doves only have two little chickies. And it was kind of symbolic, too, because I'm a mother of twins. And when my grandmother passed, she said to me, "Now you go with your boys now." And it was just, it was so impactful. Yeah. And it was just spiritually crazy because like these birds were staring at me and I'm like, this is going to be a sign for my grandmother.
And how?
And of course, yes, yes. And Joshua Tree, the Joshua Tree element is, I look up to the Joshua Trees as spiritual trees because it takes 100 years to grow.
Wow. Oh, this is fascinating. And I totally see what you're describing in so far as it's the circle of life that your grandmother passed away and here's these mourning doves and babies right outside your window. And I don't know how you could witness that and not see it as a sign from your grandmother.
Yeah, totally. It was definitely a symbolic. I don't know how I would have taken it any other way. But as per the album itself, every song was crafted uniquely for what I was going through during that time. Different things, for instance, I closed the door, I was cleaning out my shed, putting away things from the past. I wrote a song about that. Rainbow is another song that was inspired by me and a friend looking up at the stars and seeing the shooting stars in Joshua Tree, and that person not really being able to connect with that, and me trying to get that person out of their head and setting boundaries with people. So a lot of my songs are evolved in me trying to improve myself and then me connecting with elements of nature, visuals. Visuals are really important to me.
Yes, yes, I get that. I get that. We've had other guests on the show who have talked about the importance of visualization in the music that they're doing and kind of, you know, where that fits into the grand scheme of things. Tell us a little bit about these songs that you wrote. Do you always start on guitar? Do you always start on piano? And I'm curious over what period of time you wrote all these songs, because everything that you're describing sounds very fluid, and I'm going to be surprised if you tell me that it took you like 10 months to write all these songs.
Yeah, it took me 7 months to write the album. So you're very correct. It was very fluid. And I appreciate that comment because it does feel like the album is very fluid. I didn't rush it because everything that I wrote was, you know, I wanted it to come at the right time. Every song is unique in itself, but very connected and in one unity. The producer that I work with, Steve Stout, is based out in Nashville. And he absolutely, like this album is half his, you know. I wrote it and he was able to get my vision and we really collaborated well. Like, we got each other. He got exactly the vibe I wanted and he was into the vibe of the music too. So we definitely had a great time working on it. And as for writing, I usually write on guitar. My process for pretty much all my songs is I start with a guitar tune. I don't sing at all. I just start on guitar chords. And then after that, I play it with a beat. And the beat, like, I got really inspired by drums touring in the past and the element of beats driving the tune and the melody. So the beats were really important to play my guitar with. So I would just jam with like beats that are coming, different kind of drum beats that are coming through that I would choose and select off my old electronic Casio and then play my guitar on it. And then I just like kind of shout out like the chorus and go with that and then just see what comes out. And then as soon as I have like my tune and like a good vibe going on for the song, then I start to lay down the lyrics. And then that's the whole other part where I like the music element, the instruments part of it is the fun part to me. And then after, when I have to lay down the lyrics and lay down the story, that takes me like another week of like, okay, what is this about? And then I start really researching things and looking deep into where I am, and thank God for the internet, I can look into the deep. Alchemy came to me a lot in this album, and deserts and looking for the signs. It was a spiritual awakening. I love writing because I feel very connected to the. I love writing and creating because I feel very connected to what is around me. Like, I feel like everything is alive, and yeah, so that's kind of my process.
But tell me more about the production end of it, because you said that your producer is in Nashville. So did you go to Nashville and record there, or did you just record, say, vocals out where you are, and then he brought musicians into a studio in Nashville? How did all that come together?
Okay, so basically, I would send Steve my vocal and the guitar with my vocal and the beat. So he would get what we call it scratch, like the scratch, and then I'd send it to him, and then he would then work it from his studios. And he has his own studio called Chubby Studios in Nashville. He played almost all the instruments himself, and I think he brought in one of his guys or a couple times. He's a man of playing many things, but he's specifically very good at playing guitar, and that's what he went to Berkeley for. And that was something that like I was drawn to, because any producer, I know like certain producers work different ways, but I like to hear it when like a producer is very good at like one instrument. So I've worked with different producers in the past. Ken Coomer, obviously, from Wilco, the original drummer of Wilco, he did my last album, Super Bloom, and he played the drums on the album, and it is epic when he played. And it's the same with Steve. When Steve played guitar, because I think he has like a master's in guitar or something on my album, it was just so beautiful. And I think a lot of artists need to understand too, like just as any insight for artists, is that they should really research the people that they work with, and what they want to bring out. You really need to scout like the right people to, just like a casting call, like, make sure you get that producer that you want, that's going to appeal to you with what you need to create and what you want, or your vision of how you want the music to sound.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's great advice. So, speaking of the new album, last month you did a show in the high desert, dare I call it an album release show. Tell the audience the venue you performed at on April 13th and the energy of the audience in the desert coming together that night.
It was incredible. I played at Pappy's and Harriet's in Pioneer Town, and they've just played like iconic artists there, like Paul McCartney, like big stars come through there. And so I was really stoked to play at Pappy's, even though, what's great about it is that I love the audience out in Pioneer Town, because you have people from all over the world coming to visit the desert, and then you have the locals, and the balance between two is super cool. It was an eclectic crowd of all ages, which was super cool, and it was a full house. The vibe was there. People were really, really into it, because I think that the desert gives that feel. The whole album is a desert vibe, and I consider myself a Californian now. I've been here 10 years, and I'm born in Vancouver, British Columbia. So on the west side, I've always been like a west side person. So the vibe was super rock and roll, and it was cool. I was moving a lot on stage, and I had super like an amazing time with my band. I love my band so much. They all came together for me, so they were able to deliver the music beautifully.
So on a show like that, because I was looking on your Instagram when I was putting this interview together, and that's how I knew that you played both guitar and pianos, because I eventually saw pictures of you playing both. But in a show like you did on April 13th, did you play guitar? Did you play piano? Did you just sing? What did it look like that night for Tara Byer?
Yeah, I think a show for me, when I write and create at home, I'm like really into feeling my instruments. But when I do a show, I'm very much engaged in the audience, and I'm moving a lot. So I was inspired by Mick Jagger and Kate Bush. So my band was shocked. I was moving a lot. So I was most of the time with vocals and really tried to connect with the audience and moving my body and dancing and just getting people engaged, bringing the show to, an energy, which was amazing. And then a couple songs, I brought out my guitar and I played, and that was really cool too, because I really sunk in. So that was cool.
Audience, let me go ahead and reveal new dates that I have been teasing on the last episode or two relative to where I will be out on the road soon as another potential opportunity for us to meet. This episode is releasing on the first of 2 days that I will be at the Miami Beach Convention Center with my PR agency having a booth and me speaking at the B2B Marketing Expo / the Business Show. and I'm excited to announce that my next stop will be somewhere that I've never been to before. On June 5 and 6, I will be in Quincy, Illinois, which is well over 4.5 hours southwest of where I was in Chicago at the end of March and beginning of April. I will be speaking at the Indies United Publishing House's Author Retreat, which coincides with the 9th Annual Women in Literature Awards. If you or someone you know are or will be in the area, get in touch so we can meet. I would love to say an in-person thank you for listening to Now Hear This Entertainment. I should have mentioned this in the intro as a teaser, as a cliffhanger, but Tara actually survived a near-death experience while giving birth to her twin boys. IVF is such a popular topic nowadays. So do tell us, Tara, about all that, as well as, on the music side, how your creative process has been influenced since entering motherhood.
Yes, I would say it was a great pregnancy. I did my round of IVF. I did one round. I was really lucky. And I had many, many embryos, so it was really cool. But the surprise was I had two. And the process of IVF is very in-depth, but I highly advise it. I really believe it to be the future, especially if you want to have a lot of control in your pregnancy. So I was very lucky. I went to an amazing clinic in Beverly Hills at CRC, and I had an incredible doctor, and I was blessed beyond blessed. The birth of my children was a little rocky. I mean, a lot of women go through kind of sometimes a fearful moment. And my life was a little on the line. I woke up in the emergency room, and I had gone through a surgery that was a little bit, you know, scary. But I had really good doctors, and they said to me, you know, we would have never left you where you would ever feel that you would lose your life. But it was a little freaky, a little scary. And we're here to tell you, you know, they just wanted to make sure I was okay, but it was very scary and it was not what I expected. But again, when I woke up in the hospital, in the ER, I looked up to the left, and I was in a Christian hospital, St. John's, and there was a cross on the wall, and I had a major spiritual awakening during that time. I just, like a flash in the force of God came over me and told me to forgive. And it was huge. It was like nobody like came to me and said to my face, like, forgive, but it was like God was forgiving for me, like took it away, took away anything I guess I was holding. So, you know, that was great. And then of course, being a mother, being a twin mom, I'm so grateful for my husband who takes, you know, half of the reins, but I do work really hard as a mother. And I work hard as an artist too. I work hard on both sides. And I think it's really important because my kids want me to be fulfilling my purpose. Like they see me play and they are happy when they see me play and their eyes light up. Yeah. Wow. And so I think it's cool because I want them to do what they want to do later on in life. And when they see what is my purpose in life, I'm fulfilling it. And I think it's very important in having a balance in life. I told my mother that I needed to have my kids because this album's hitting really well out in the world. And it was so funny. It was almost like I needed to have these kids to get to this album. It's really interesting.
Well, that's some amazing testimony that you just shared, because clearly there's a lot there. And obviously the story you just told, the Holy Spirit was present in that room, because for you to get that message of forgiveness, for you to survive something that, let's face it, was a near-death experience at a time when you went in. I'm not going to pretend to know what you were thinking, but obviously an expectant mother goes into that situation with rose-colored glasses and thinks, yay, joy, love, happiness, this is all going to be wonderful. And all of a sudden, here you are in an emergency situation. So I don't see how you could go through all that and not be impacted in the way that you just described. And it's wonderful to hear that forgive me for using the word rewarded, but that you are being rewarded for your courage.
Oh, thank you.
And everything that you went through, and that the music is doing so well. But I love that perspective that you shared of that your boys want to see you flourishing in what you do.
Yeah, the world is changing in how to view things. People are doing everything how they want to do them these days, and people are going on very unique journeys. Everybody has a unique, powerful journey, and the old way of viewing things has changed now. People just, you know, if I could inspire anybody, it's like, you know, everybody's journey is unique and can flourish and can go its own way. I mean, I've heard like, oh, you've had kids now. Oh, yeah. Like, are you going to not do this anymore? And it's like, no, I'm just getting started. I'm just cracking the ice. And my kids will come with me on the journey and watch me fight for it and watch me feel good about it and be rewarded for it. I kind of want them to see me and my drive. And at the same time, I really am conscious of being like, you know, I want to be there for my kids 100%. I make them food in the morning and breakfast, and I want to be that nourishing mother for them too. So it's a fine balance, but I'm not beating myself up about anything at all.
And let's face it, for people to ask you, are you going to stop now? It's like there's this whole new lane that's opened up for inspiration. This is not the time to stop. This is the time to flourish and to create all the more.
Yeah, it's funny when you say to, I guess, an artist, a real artist, like, do you want to stop doing? It's like, you're asking me to stop being who I am. I might as well just go down and die if I can't do what I want. I remember somebody... it was a teacher, I think it was an acting coach I saw way, way back. And she looked at me and this guy in the audience and she pointed at us and she was like, if you guys both stop creating, you both will go into deep depression or die. Like, I think it's a core thing that is survival of the artist. The artist will always continue on, and we don't live in a society that supports artists in a way. Artists are also... we also get beat up by the world, so we have to fight the good fight. And doing that is like creating a peaceful and great environment of protection and love and just, you know, building that world around you.
That makes me curious then. You've hinted at this a couple times. At the start of this episode, I actually could have introduced you as a Canadian-American. You were raised in Vancouver and moved to Los Angeles. When and why did you relocate from Vancouver to Los Angeles? And has that influenced your storytelling? Has that influenced your music at all, the move?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Vancouver, and my home city was where I was raised. It was beautiful nature, but it was like the vibe of my home city was not supporting my spirit at all. Like, when people say, you know, those people that stay in their home city their whole life, lucky them, but it was not supporting me in any way. So God was saying, you know, go, you need to go. And then I met my husband, who's from another country, Germany, and he wanted to come to the North America. So he was also on an adventure. So when we met, it was like, okay, let's go. So we actually went to Toronto. And we lived in Toronto for several years. And Toronto is like kind of like the New York of Canada. And it's just like full of art and culture and intelligence. So Toronto was my place to really get into the films that I did. And then it spawned me to go back to my roots, which was my music. And then right when I first released Hero in the Sage, which is a song that got onto Biden's inauguration, that was right when I jumped from Toronto to Los Angeles.
Okay.
And that was my debut album. And that album, I nursed that for a while. I did like a tour with that. I had a whole band and it was great. I had great success. And then I was in LA for like 10 years, and now I still consider myself an LA person, but now I just live on the outskirts of LA in Laguna Beach. So I go into the city from time to time, but
I've been in LA for 10 years now, so.
Okay. Well, speaking of the glitz and glamour of LA and Hollywood, I mentioned this in the intro. Last November, you attended the Billboard Music Awards. I want the audience to understand that you are an independent artist. So tell us about the significance of attending that event surrounded by, I'm sure, heavyweights from the industry.
Yeah, that was really, it was a shocker for me. My publicist just said, okay, yeah, you're invited. You're on the list. And I said, okay, are you sure? I'm a folk musician. It was cool, like finding out what to wear. I also just like really stuck to who I was, and I chose like something very conducive to my look. And I am familiar with getting on the red carpet. I've done red carpet events, so I know how it is. And I had a great support that day, and I was able to speak to Billboard Korea was really interested in speaking to me. They were planning me up on the red carpet. I got to speak to YouTube and other networks. And yeah, it was really cool. The Backstreet Boys was there, and I was on the same carpet as them, and Flava Flav. And it was kind of overwhelming, but I held my own. And my friend said, you could get invited to those things because look at Sheryl Crow, look at Jewel. They're like indie, you know, Americana artists. But most of the artists there, a lot of them were like R&B, hip hop. Mm. So it was cool to represent Los Angeles for my style of music, like being alternative folk and Americana and repping that genre. Because Los Angeles, as you said, like being a Hollywood industry place, I always complain because I'm like, oh, it's always like pop and hip hop here and like the big money. And like as an independent artist, it felt really good and to be acknowledged and heard. So yeah, it was really cool.
I'm standing here with this big goofy grin on my face, like so happy for you and just like so excited to hear this story, because I love that you did hold your own with the biggest names in the music business that, like you said, are a completely different genre from you, and you not being someone that has done, you know, dozens of red carpets before. So I'm so happy for you. And I love that story. And it's something to definitely be proud of. And I'm here to say, audience, that that is by no means the last red carpet and the last award ceremony that Tara is going to be at.
Aww.
Mark my words.
Thank you, Bruce.
I am joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from Laguna Beach, California, by singer, songwriter, guitar and piano player Tara Beyer. Visit her official website at tarabeyermusic.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. You heard her talking about her brand new album, Mourning Doves of Joshua Tree. Find it on iTunes and from other online digital music retailers. Connect with Tara on social media. Specifically, she is on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. Look for links at the bottom of tarabeyermusic.com for those. Plus, of course, you heard me cite some of her streaming numbers back in the intro. Give Tara a follow on Spotify. I mentioned this last week. For those of you who have not been listening all the way to the end of the podcast each week, here is what you miss out on as a result. I always close by saying how much I appreciate you tuning in to Now Hear This Entertainment. I'm optimistic that you're enjoying what you're hearing. If you would like to show your appreciation for the work I put into making this show happen week after week, year after year, 11 plus years with no breaks, I have got an easy way for you to do so. Head over to nhte.net, where you will spot a bright yellow Buy Me a Coffee button. It's not a sponsor. There's no brand behind it. It is simply a way for you to send a little support my way with a personal message that I will see. Alternatively, you can go directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. Your support means the world to me, and I thank you in advance. Tara, I should have brought this up when we were talking about your having relocated from Canada to Southern California, but another notable item from your past is that you were a filmmaker. It is said that you made waves in the documentary world. Talk about the transition from that art form to music, including what you might still carry from that realm in addition to whether you see yourself returning behind the camera at some point?
Yeah, it's interesting. At one point, I had to make a decision. Am I going to be a filmmaker or am I going to be a musician? Because I could have gone into the documentary world, and I was getting a good handle of it and quite good success. I also was helping people. I helped a Burmese man finally get his citizenship after being a refugee, after waiting 10 years. And that felt really good to give back, and touching on like human rights and Native Indian rights. But I think it was a big moment when I made that switch, because I was like, you're a performer, and music is a great medium because you can just create it fast, and film takes a while. Like it takes like a year sometimes to like make stuff. And my husband's in the film industry, and I see him, and he does very well as a producer, but I see all the people that work in his field. And it was kind of nice to do something also separate for my husband too. We always said like, let's do something separate. But if I could tie in the element of film, is mainly the cinematic. I'm a very visual person, so the cinematic element is definitely driven through my lyrics, and even the vibes of the instruments of my songs definitely are cinematic, which I really want to drive that home. I feel like the moving image is just as beautiful as the music. I mean, I'm a big fan of David Lynch, great directors out there that understand music, Tarantino, those guys, they're like musicians themselves. So the element of like the visual moving footage connected to the music is so important. I feel like music is the medium and the moving image is the medium. And then one element that I did learn from filmmaking is scripts. So learning how to write like a full script, just like writing also an essay, writing, the writing element, I was able to transfer that into telling stories through my songs.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Is there a chance that you might return behind the camera at some point, or are those days behind you?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I would love to direct, and I think I would do well. I always said, I want to be, maybe in my next life, I'll be a cinematographer, because I love the visual elements, and we're friends with cinematographers in our business, and I love their eyes. But being a director and creating on a whole level, maybe later, like maybe when I'm like in retirement mode, like I would love to like go behind the camera and like do something that will make an impact for sure.
Nice, nice. After your boys were born, you did a covers album called Her Story, celebrating the contributions of female folk artists from the 1960s and 70s with unique covers of Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez, and others. You have also cited influences such as Sade and Nancy Wilson. Are there songs that shaped you as a writer? And for that matter, how do you continue to blend vintage sensibility with modern storytelling?
Oh, great question. People ask me all the time, like, I think what I get, like, in terms of, like, oh, do you like this song? How did it inspire? Does that song inspire you? For these women, what inspired me was their own voices, in terms of just being able to speak their medium, their own unique medium. And the four women that were on this EP that I covered, like covering Joan Baez and versus Joni Mitchell, like they totally had different approaches on how they would deliver their artistry, you know? And so for me, it was like, oh, I'm inspired by them stepping into themselves in their own voice, because every songwriter is unique and has their own voice. I mean, for me, I can't write by listening to someone and then like trying to recreate it.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. It just doesn't happen for me. But if I listen to a tune, like an instrument, I'm more of an instrumentalist lover. Mm-hmm. Like I love classical music and I love like chill beats. Like if I listen to a tune that's like hidden on Spotify, that's like a little twisty tune, that's how I get inspired. I get inspired by like the tune of an instrument. And then from there, that's
like I write from there.
But because you take that approach, and you described earlier how the lyrics are a distant second after you work with the melody first, I'm thinking of everything you just said, the Joni Mitchells and the Joan Baezes of the world. So you do clearly hold on to that vintage sensibility, but I would think that you're tasked with, okay, but make it modern though. So how do you find that mix? How do you achieve that combination?
I feel like how I make it modern is like what I'm talking about in terms of the lyrics. Like a lot of the personal work that I do, like Boundaries, like from Rainbow, or, you know, Grief, I feel like a lot of people are going through that today. So the personal development that connects with the higher consciousness of humanity. And then in terms of like making it modern, I bring it to the producer and I work very intensely with the producer, and I say, okay, I send him like styles of music that I like, and then I send him all that, and then he takes it and spins it on my style, like on what I'm doing. And that's why me and Steve, which I think this record is like so cool, is that Steve was able, you know, we're also, me and Steve, I think, are this around the same age, so we got the same vibes. His parents like the same music.
Okay.
We loved elements of stuff, so it was cool.
Wow, wow. Are you at the same time, and this is going to sound contradictory to putting the music first and the lyrics second, are you someone, though, who, based on what you just described with him, do you bang your fist on the desk and say, these lyrics are non-negotiable, I'm hiring you for the production element, I'm not hiring you to be a writer on these songs, please don't suggest I change anything because I love how the lyrics are, just do what you do with your magic melodically?
Yeah, interesting you say that. I have been lucky because maybe because I have been independent, that all the producers I've worked with, the ones that have done my albums, for instance, the first album I did was the bassist from Great Lakes Swimmers, Brett Higgins. He was like totally connected to like all of the people, Ken Coomer, Steve, they never stomped on my lyrics.
Okay.
Ever.
Okay.
Unless I said to them, is this too wordy here? And then they come in and they do hack it. I mean, I had one element where Ken took out like an entire chunk once, and I was okay with it, you know, because I was like, okay, that's, if you think that's what we need to do, because I think for me, my issue is sometimes I can get too much words, but I'm so happy because now on this third album, and again, this is for everybody, it's a working craft. Like if you are a doctor, over many years, you will become a better doctor because you're working on things. It's the same with music, anything you do, but sticking to that same medium, you will improve. So my first album had more words, same. And then as I was going on to the third album, I was using less words, and that was great. Because it brought it to be more poetic, and I didn't have to memorize so much in terms of performance. So, I mean, I have lots of lyrics in my songs, of course, but from where I was to where I am now, I have really minimalized it. And I think for me, what was great was making it simple. Simplicity was the key.
Yeah, it sounds like you've grown into yourself as a writer and as an artist. And I love the doctor analogy. It's making me kind of think of, you know, a heart surgeon and someone saying, well, come on, I just need you to come and do this guy's knee for me. No, you got to get a knee surgeon. I don't do that just because I'm a surgeon. And in your case, you're saying, I trust these people that I've mentioned that have worked with me on my projects. I trust them as producers. That's what they specialize in. Last week on the show, Bruce Sudano, singer, songwriter, producer, he was married to Donna Summer for 32 years. He and I were talking last week about this very thing of a lot of times you will hear an artist in Nashville say, even though I play guitar, there's way better guitar players in this town than me.
Yeah.
Let's bring them in. So I love that you're saying, no, I like to let him specialize in what he specializes in. He's the producer. I'm going to say, look, if you think it works better to take that section out of the song, we're taking that section out of the song.
Yeah. And I think don't compromise the project for your ego. Like, you know, it's like the goal is to make good music. So I'm not going to stomp all over it because I need to hear my voice. And another advice I give for artists is like, make the music that you would listen to. Like when you go on Spotify or whatever, like whatever you plug in, like, meaning, make it, for me, I like instrumental, a lot of instrumental music. I don't like too many vocals.
Yeah.
And I close the door. I'm barely doing too much singing in it. And so I was like, okay, I want to bring a vibe, the medium to the people. I don't want to bring it where I need to have something to say. I want to give a feeling to people through the whole body of the music.
Well, and let's face it, the more that you can be in touch with what you like to hear and thus what your music might come out sounding in the neighborhood of, the better that is for the producer. He's probably going to ask you for some comps anyways. So if you can go in there already saying, this is kind of what I'm listening to, this is kind of some of the spirit that I want to kind of carry over to mine, then the whole project stands to benefit from that. There's something that you said in all that, though, that I want to kind of drill down into. You have been vocal about your mission to honor feminine energy without sacrificing ambition. This goes back to the Joni Mitchell, Joan Baez conversation. Can you sort of take us through what you have learned about resilience, about societal expectations, and creating a career that does embrace both softness and strength?
Yeah, I love that question. Lately, I've been driving home the point that men and women are separate from each other in terms of they're opposites, you know? Like, so if you're a woman, stop trying to be a man and be a woman. Like, there is so much beauty in feminine energy. We have power that a man doesn't have power. A man has power that a woman doesn't have power. So why don't we just jump in to what we have, which is feminine energy? Like, we have the ability to have children, so that's amazing. Some women decide not to, some do, but it shouldn't be a drawback. Like, just because I have kids doesn't mean that I'm going to be drawn back because I have kids. That's like a weird society judgment. Let's embrace the woman and the woman's journey, you know, and being a woman artist too. Like, it's beautiful to be a woman artist if you can, like finding that balance and that rhythm with, for me, is being a mother and then being an artist and having that flow and running your business. And I just feel like softness and gentleness is one of the things that make a woman a woman. And bringing that, upholding that is something we should embrace. Like, we should jump into our feminine resilience. Women are extremely strong, and so are men. Men are also extremely strong, and so are women, but they're totally, they have different energies. And of course, we blend energies. I might take some masculine energies and vice versa, but the feminine energy is a beautiful energy, and there's a lot of strength in that.
Yeah, and let's...
If that makes all sense.
No, I love all that. I love all that, because the picture I got in my head is the loving Tara that is the mother, right, at home with her babies, and a very different persona. And this is quiet time, this is nurturing time, this is nourishing time. But then the Tara that you described from the April 13th show that was jumping around on stage and really commanding the attention of the audience. And that does show the softness and the strength that they can peacefully coexist.
They can totally coexist. And having the duality of having the persona of an artist, like, I've known how to separate. Like, I know that I needed, in order for me to be an artist, I need to have a good environment for my family to flourish, and vice versa. Like, both will counterbalance each other in order for both to work. They both have to work that way. But I'm not there to, like, tout, like, women power. I'm not about that. I'm more about, like, let's bring in the beauty of the feminine spirit and not let it overshadow the male spirit. Let's dive in and explore this whole other side of the feminine energy, which is so beautiful, as with the male energy too. It's just like, we don't need to stomp things out. And when I'm on stage, like, I am letting out all the connection. I remember, like, when I sang Desert Soul, all these Coachella girls came dancing around when I sang the song, like, don't give up, listen to your heart, listen to your soul. And I really connected with a lot of the women, because it was like, and then also some of the younger men that came out, because it's like, everybody's searching for what they want to do in life. And, like, everybody around them is telling them, okay, what do I do in my life, you know, especially young 20-year-olds. And I thought it was really cool to connect with that energy and just be like, you know, listen to yourself, like listen to what you want to do in your life. So maybe that was some feminine energy coming through. I don't know. But
I wonder if perhaps the fact that, and you said it really well before when you talked about the acting teacher looking down and saying, you know, this is going to suffocate you if you can't do this. And so you just have this artist that's within you that I think allows you to see things so much differently from people who are not creators. And that's not wrong. It's just part of what makes you different. So you can see that, look, I can be this loving mother. You know, you can talk about the IVF journey, right? I think I saw a breastfeeding picture on your Instagram. There's a whole community that loves that, that embraces that. But at the same time, you can also flex your muscle as an artist and say, now I'm going to deliver some powerful messages through my songs, just in the same way that your husband, right, is trying to send powerful stories out, maybe in a masculine way, maybe in a non-gender specific way, but through the art that he's creating through film. But I think a lot of that goes to the core of, I am an artist, and so I can look at some of these everyday situations and I can see them in the manner that you just described, as opposed to the people who said to you, oh, you're a mom now, you're going to stop doing music? It's like, oh my gosh, you're totally missing the opportunity here.
Yeah, I think to be an artist is a unique journey. It's harder. You have to be able to take the hits from society, from the, you know, preconceptions. So, but it's also like, it's not even just an artist. Maybe I think about somebody who got divorced in their life, you know, later on, and they got to start all over again, and they got to go find somebody, and they got, you know, and it's like, don't judge somebody because they're divorced. Like, they're on their journey to find something new and grow.
Wow.
So it's so interesting to see, like, I think the resilience, I'm really feeling the feminine resilience is like, I followed this guy on Instagram. He's so cool. And he's like, those people can't hurt you anymore. Those people that have stomped you on before, they can't hurt you. Like, you are undefeated now. Mm. Like, they can't come at you now and say to you, like, you got to stop. You know, you're horrible. Like, they know they can't beat you. I think this point where people have to step in and just really just do them. Do what
so
you're
cool.
doing. Enjoy
so
what
cool.
you're doing.
Yeah, so cool. And on a related note, you teed that one up nicely for me. Let's talk about Lovender, which is your lavender-based wellness spray, which reflects your holistic philosophy. How has launching a fragrance line tied into your commitment to self-care, spirituality, and creating art that lives off the stage and outside the studio?
Yeah, it's a beautiful holistic spray that you can use everywhere. It's lavender is my favorite plant. It's because it's also antibacterial. I'm a bit of a, you know, clean freak, and also anti-inflammatory.
Nice.
And it smells good. It brings that, and it's for both genders. It's like, I mean, the whole world is blended now. So men have ordered it. I've sent lots to Canada and the U.S. around, in Florida too. And men use it in their rooms and the linens on themselves, because men like lavender too. And women have been loving it too. I've brought it out to places like clinics for, actually, I have a client she's brought it to like her baby's birthing clinic, and she sprays it all around there. It's really a beautiful spray because there's like no chemicals in it. As people that know me, I'm a little bit afraid a lot of chemicals and like pollution. It's just drives me nuts. So like, I'm living in this world to, that's why, one of the reasons why I escaped LA was so polluted, and after the fires, so that's why I'm coming out here to Laguna. But the spray is a very healthy spray.
So if, let's say, I'll just make up a crazy example, let's say there's a podcast host in Tampa, Florida that wants to order Lovender for his wife, is it as simple as folks just go to TaraBuyerMusic.com? Is this available in stores? Is it a separate website? Where can people get the spray?
For Americans only, you can get it on Amazon.
Ah.
But it is like totally pure materials. It's not made in China or anything. It's not shipped. It's made here. And you can go to www.lovenderfragrance.com, and lavender spelled L-O-V, like love. And then endure. So yeah, it's a spray of love. And ordering it online is where we're at right now.
That's so cool. I love that name. And congratulations. That's great that you have distribution through Amazon. As we get to start winding things down, before I ask you to talk about another song we're going to play from your new album, losing your grandmother was the emotional trigger behind this new album. How do you see your art as a way of carrying forward your family's legacy? And then also, what role does ancestry and lineage play in your life and your work?
Wonderful question, Bruce. Really insightful. Thank you. I would say my mission now is, which I would like to carry on for my grandmother and for her watching over me, is that I broke the cycle. I broke the cycle of depression, I broke the cycle of addiction. I broke the cycle of feeling bad about myself, of feeling trapped. I think, like, she's happy for me, like, looking down, because she's like, oh, Tara's like really free, like living what she wants to do in beautiful California. But I think, you know, if I had stayed in Vancouver, like, I would have stayed the same. And I wouldn't have fulfilled myself and fulfilled my journey. Like, it was just not meant for me. And I think, like, they all didn't understand what I was doing when I left. And they were sad when I left. But there was a higher purpose that God wanted for me.
For sure.
And I'm happy that I listened to what God wanted and not my family. And I know my family now is looking at me now and being like, oh, okay, I get it now. Like,
yeah,
I understand.
Yeah.
But it did take time. It did take time to get there.
Yeah, it's kind of like the way that my family looks at me and they say, boy, Tampa agrees with him so much. I moved to Florida 24 and a half years ago, and they say it. Sometimes they actually come right out and say it. You know, that's really where you belong. You know, Tampa is really home for you. But I'm happy for you, and it's great to hear you say, I broke the cycle, and that your grandmother is looking down and seeing you flourish and saying, this is where she needed to be. So that's a wonderful way to wind things down. We are going to close today with another song from Tara's new album, one called Desert Soul. Before I let you go and we play that track, Tara, tell us all about this one first, if you would, please.
Desert Soul was a song that was inspired by the book I read, The Alchemist. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure most of the world, a lot of people have read it, where you just, you know, picking up the signs of the desert that inspired me to continue on my artistic kind of mission. The chorus is, don't give up, listen to your heart, listen to your soul. And I got inspired by the landscape of the desert. A good visual would be, like, there's not a lot of water going through the desert. So if there is that, like, one drop of water that's, like, spilling through the dry, cracked land, that piece of water, that's you. You're that little water that's, you know, going through the dry land of the sand. And because it's a rough environment, the desert, so if you are to survive, you have to be pretty strong. So the Desert Soul is all about that. It's the reflection of our souls. It's, you know, how deeply can we be staying true to ourselves? And also, which was interesting from a biblical reference, like, the desert is such a holy place.
And
so it was really trippy that I was writing this, like, holy record with, like, the desert, and, like, imagine, like, walking through the desert looking for water and just praying for, like, rain to come down. And these elements are what we as humans do to survive. So
wow.
I feel like this song, it's also got a dance beat. So it's my, like, you know, most, like, powerful song, I would say, on the record, because people move and dance to the song. And I just really want people to feel good about themselves. And, you know, the chorus, don't give up. Like, don't give up. Like, listen to your heart and listen to your soul. Like, there's so many times in life that, you know, people get the feeling like, I want to give up. Like, just don't give up. And I'm literally screaming it in a way to the audience, is like, just don't, because we're a lot stronger than we think we are.
Is this the song, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that you said earlier that You performed it at the April 13th show in the desert, and the Coachella girls were really getting into it. Is this it?
Yes, it was great.
Awesome.
It was really great to feel that vibe from the girls and everybody there. So yeah,
awesome.
It's an amazing song. It has some 80s vibes in there too. So it's kind of a mix of like alternative folk. Annie Lennox is somebody I always looked up to, too, you know. It was like my folk version of this kind of vibe that I'm giving off. I don't know.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Tara, this has been fantastic. Congratulations on the new album. Congratulations on the fragrance line. Can't wait to keep following you. Thank you so much for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Audience, with that, I will wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment. My sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, guitar, and piano player Tara Beyer. Do visit her official website at tarabeyermusic.com. As I said before, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Her brand new album, just released last month, called Morning Doves of Joshua Tree, is available on iTunes and other online digital music retailers. Connect with Tara on social media. This morning, I followed her on Facebook, X, and Instagram, and I'm sure she would appreciate you doing the same. She is also on YouTube. At the bottom of tarabeyermusic.com, you will find links for her social media as well as for Spotify, so you can go and follow her there too. For that matter, tell Tara you heard her and her music on Now Hear This Entertainment. That's going to do it for episode 586. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out with another song from Tara Beyer. This is the one she just talked about. It's called Desert Soul.
Up in the attic is a small lifelong high. open.